Some of you strip your gear, I'll tell you. Some people cry, some people shout, some people raise their hands. That's all right, isn't it? That's good. We don't want to be frigid, cold Christians, for sure. And thank God for the joy. Man, when the joy swells up in your soul, you think about what he was singing about. There's a shout there, and praise God for it. Thank you, Brother Bro and choir, for that song. Appreciate it. Acts chapter 9, if you'd turn there. I'll try to calm down enough to preach a little bit. Hey, listen, you go to the ball games and holler and scream and shout and do all that stuff for a stupid ball game with a bunch of nuts running up and down the field with a pigskin. Why don't we just enjoy church? Amen. Enjoy church. You say, well, I'm afraid people think we get too excited. No, that'll never happen around you. Not in a Baptist church. It'll never happen. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36, I want to talk to you about the legacy of a godly woman. The legacy of a godly woman. Beginning with verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. It literally means doe, a beautiful doe. And so this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She displayed what Dorcas had done for them, Tabitha. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. As we look at Tabitha, we know that this woman, also called Dorcas, was a woman of great deeds and good deeds. The Bible says she was full of good works. Now, she didn't get saved by her good works, but she was full of good works. Let me ask you a question today. Are you full of good works? Should we be full of good works? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. A good name is what she had. She was busy doing good things, good works for other people. So let's think about the legacy of Tabitha. In verse 36, he reminds us of what it was. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And notice that she wasn't a preacher. She wasn't even mentioned as being a leader in the church as such. She wasn't the person that was always in front of other people. Nothing is mentioned about that. But we would all agree today that she was greatly used of God. And she had a great ministry for the glory of God. And that's why God included this in the Holy Writ, that we might have some lessons from her life and what she did, and how God blessed her for it. So she was full of good works. She didn't just have a few, but she just overflowed with good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is God's will that all of us walk in good works, that we are ordained by God to be filled with good works all the time in our lives. As a matter of fact, works in the Bible is a sure sign of conversion. People who say they get saved, never serve God, never labor for God, never work for God, something's wrong with that picture. One of the signs that you got saved is the fact that you have works in your life. Anyone can talk the talk, but it takes a real Christian to walk the walk. And she was walking the walk. H.A. Ironside said this about her: she had a consecrated needle. I like that. She had a consecrated needle. She was sewing clothes all the time for people, doing all of those things for the glory of God, because she was a Christian filled with good works. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women, listen to it women, adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now I could preach there a while, but I'll move on. I got one or two amens. I'm going to move on. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly array. Now he's not saying, well, there's another verse to some of that, but he's not saying you can't dress nice. But he's saying that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is not on your ring and your jewelry and how you're dressed and all of those things. But he says in 1 Timothy 2:10, but which becometh women professing godliness, how? With good works. If you want to impress God, it's not your jewelry or your hairstyle, ladies. It's your good works. It's what we are doing for God that impresses God. She was not only full of good works, but she was full of love and charity according to the Scriptures. And that's what he means in verse 36 when he says alms deeds. We would call that works of charity. And she was filled with alms deeds. Proverbs 31:20. She stretcheth out her hand. This is a description of a godly woman, a God-fearing woman. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Godly women are willing to do that. And it's part of what Proverbs says as a compliment to a woman who is a godly woman. She helps out the poor. By the way, the government was never designed to take care of the poor. The church was supposed to do that. And that's where we went wrong, when the church did not do what the church was supposed to do, and many Christians got selfish. But we're supposed to help out. Now, she was a very giving person. She showed acts of kindness to the poor. She made clothes and garments for them. And she did it for other Christians. And she didn't just do it for herself. That's one reason they missed her so much when she died. You know, there are a lot of Christians that could die and the church wouldn't miss them much. You say, that's too harsh. Now, just think about it. I mean, as far as what they're doing and how they're doing it and what difference they're making in the church other than warming a pew, there are a lot of people that could pass away and hardly the church would not be affected in any way. But there are some that are so busy serving God and full of good works and full of good deeds that if they passed away, the church would really miss them. But you know what? It ought to be true of every one of us, that if we pass away, the church would miss us, because we're busy serving the Lord. Now, what were they going to do during the time of the loss of Tabitha? Well, go back to verse 37. It came to pass in those days she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. That was customary for what they did, put her in the upper room, the upper chamber. And Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there. Well, they were not too many miles away, and so they sent two to go get Peter. You see, they loved her so much, they wanted to do everything they could. And they wanted Peter to come, thinking perhaps, since they loved her so much, and she had done so much, that maybe Peter could help out, and maybe he could raise her from the dead. because Peter had the power of God in his life. And the apostles had apostolic power of that day to do miracles and many of those things. Now, Peter was in a revival in Lydda. He was busy. Souls were being saved left and right. Read about it. And many people were coming to Christ. And he was there in a revival meeting, we might say. But you know what? He had a compassionate heart, and this man of God left a revival meeting because somebody else had a need. And that need was brought to him, and he knew he could do something about it. And he said, somebody's hurting, somebody needs help, and I'm willing to go help them. He left to minister to a grieving people. And I said that to say this, that you and I need to take time, number one, to look for people who are hurting, and number two, to come up by their side and help them out. Who else is going to do it? You and I need, when we see another Christian discouraged, we don't need to say, well, there goes old Johnny, you know, he's just down in the dumps. Isn't that sad? No, we need to go to him and say, I love you, brother. How can I help you? What can I do? Let me pray with you about your problem and your difficulties. If we hear about somebody who is sick, if we hear about somebody who has a need, we don't say, look, I know it's cold outside and I've got two coats and I know it's cold outside. The Bible says, give them one of the coats. As a matter of fact, if need be, take the one off of your shoulders and give it to them. That's typical of what God tells us we ought to do. Hurting and needy people need encouragement. And let me tell you, one way you can win people to the Lord is love them and help them and be there when they're hurting, when somebody dies, when there's a tragedy, when there's an accident. Be there. Look for opportunities to serve the Lord. That's the way Tabitha was. And they were sorrowful, verse 39. Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. That's where she was. And all the widows stood by him, doing what? Weeping. And showing the coats and garments which Dorcas and Tabitha made while she was with them. They began to cry and weep. Now, why were they crying? Why were they sorrowful? Because Tabitha had served with a sweet, godly attitude. You know, I like people who serve God with a sweet attitude, don't you? There are some people, some Christians, who are very melancholy, holier-than-thou, sourpusses, and they have no tender love and kindness about them. God doesn't need people like that. God needs loving people. People who don't look down at people. People who want to help people. People who have the joy of the Lord, like our Sunday school lesson in some of the classes was about this morning. Luke 10:41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was so busy, so busy. Why don't you have Mary come in here and help me in the kitchen, Jesus? Why don't you have her come in here and help me out? Don't you know I'm busy? And Jesus said, Mary's got it right. Well, where was Mary? She was at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, which is more important? We don't need to be so encumbered with things in life that we forget what is important in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that she had a great attitude, and she had that sweetness and demeanor about her that people knew, you know, I think she's a godly person and a Christian. The kind of person that at our church would help with a meal, like those who serve when people have a death. The kind who work in the nursery while I'm here preaching and they're back there changing diapers. The kind that would teach a Sunday school class. The kind that would do something for the glory of God and not complain about it and say, it's a privilege for me to serve God. You see, if you serve God and you know God and you love God, you know that it's a privilege to serve Him. It's not a hard task. It's something you want to do because you love Him. You just want to find somehow to serve Him. And I believe she was that way. And they remembered her because many of those lives were touched by Tabitha. There's no doubt about that being true. She was sacrificial. Some think maybe she had quite a bit of money. I can't prove that. Some scholars think so, but one thing was for sure, she was sacrificial, and she didn't buy her way off. She worked with her own hands to provide what they needed. She was very generous, and therefore many were touched by her death. And she helped widow ladies out. I'm glad that our church tries to help our widows out. Our deacons help our widows out. We have 11, 12 deacons, and we assign our widows to them, and they call them sometimes to check with them, or the widows know, should know that they can call if there's a problem. You see, God says, well, to take care of the widows indeed. The Bible teaches that, and that's the way she was. They would have been out in the cold. They didn't make any money, those widows of that day. They didn't have much money, like some today, who are on a very fixed income. And they needed help. And Tabitha said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you some clothes. I'll make you a coat. I'll make you a garment so you won't be cold in the cold weather. I'll do it for you. And that's the way they were. We ought to be that way. That should be our mindset. James 1:27. Pure religion. Do you have pure religion today? Are you sure? Pure religion. Absolutely pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What? What is it? Don't smoke, don't drink beer. Well, I don't think you ought to do either one of those things, but what does the Bible say pure religion is? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that would take care of the other things. But that's pure religion. And we need to take care of the widows and the fatherless and then be separated from the world. But he mentioned those two things before he talks about separation, though that is important. Now, look at the Lord of Tabitha. Who controlled her life? Who was her Lord? Verses 40 and 42. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. How many of you believe that really happened? Raise your hand. It's a biblical account that it really happened. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. He gave her his hand like a gentleman, lifted her up. And the word got out that he had raised her from the dead. He had raised her from the dead. You see, God's always working, even if we don't see how God is working. We may not see what God is doing in allowing certain things to happen. But God allowed Tabitha to die so that I could preach about her today. And so that I could tell you there are some great spiritual lessons involved in it. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? We know that all things, not all things are good. Some things are not good. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purposes. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now what if you were like Brother Volante and his first wife in Ghana, West Africa, and she died? Would you wonder why God allowed that to happen? But let me just say, and I'm not trying to embarrass him, I'm giving you an illustration. God mightily has used that, right? Tremendously, God has used that. And we don't understand all of those things. But we know that God makes no mistakes. And he brought Tabitha back to life. And you say, well, that was great for her. Well, I don't know. Because Philippians says in 1:23 that if we go to be with Christ, we're far better off. So she would have just gone on and been with the Lord. She would have been far better off. Even though she died, perhaps prematurely we'd call it, she would have been far better off. But God said, I've got a greater purpose, and I want to be glorified through this. So Peter, I'm going to let you raise her from the dead. And that's exactly what took place. Now, I want you to notice that Peter prayed. Why do you think he prayed? Because he was depending on God. Peter was not depending on Peter. Peter was not the first pope. Peter had a mother-in-law. You can't be a pope and have a mother-in-law. You can barely be a Baptist preacher and have a mother-in-law. But at any rate, you can't be a pope and have a mother-in-law. Peter was not the first pope. Peter was an apostle who loved God, and he knew that his power source was God. And he got on his knees and prayed. He went to God in prayer, and he acknowledged his dependence on God. The healing was not because of Peter's action. The healing was because of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God coming upon her and raising her from the dead. You say, man, that's fantastic. Well, if you're saved, one of these days you're going to be raised from the dead. If you die before the rapture comes, I'm going to hold out for the rapture. I'm going to take every kind of vitamin, every kind of pill, and I'm not going to go on a diet, but I'm going to do all those other things, try to hold out for the rapture. But let me tell you, Peter raised her from the dead with the power of God, and he presented her alive in verse 41. Isn't that great? Grief turned into joy. Grief turned into joy. And that's what it's going to be, really. A lot of you have lost your loved ones. That grief is going to be turned into joy. Just hold on and wait. Jesus is coming again. And the result of it, why did God allow all of this to happen? Tabitha, you don't make any difference. All you're doing is sewing clothes for people and widow ladies. You're not a great teacher. You don't have all of those things, all those great gifts. All you're doing is just doing what you can to love people and show people love and help them out. And God says, yeah, I like that, and I'm going to use you as a great demonstration. And we know that because of it, verse 42, it came to pass. The Bible says that he tarried many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. And one reason I think he did was because the gospel broke loose. And there were many people, the revival broke loose, and many people believed in the gospel. Many believed in the Lord, the latter part of verse 42. Many believed in the Lord because this happened to her. Grief was turned to joy, and many got saved, and thank God they did. You see, God used miracles to confirm the gospel early in the church age. He used those things for that. And more people were brought to saving faith, and the story of the gospel was spread. I don't have time to go into why those particular sign gifts are no longer needed or no longer here, but we do know now we have the perfect, completed Word of God. And there are no more apostolic faiths, and there are no more apostles today. And they were the ones who had that power. But the result was the story was told and spread, and many people got saved. What do we get out of all of this? The importance of living a godly life and having a godly testimony. Tabitha had a godly life and a great testimony. And the need that we might be reminded to express gratitude to people while they are alive and not wait until after they are dead. Express your gratitude to them before they pass away. Tell them how much you love them and how much you're appreciate them, and help others in your own spiritual condition. If you'll learn to do that, your spiritual growth will be greater. If you'll learn to put others first, that's how the Salvation Army got started. Others was the theme. If we will learn to get the focus off of ourselves, where most of the focus is, and we'll put the focus on others and love others and help others and be kind to others, and have that kind of legacy. The ideal Christian, what is the ideal Christian? I ran across this definition. One who rests in his own salvation. Number one, be sure you're saved. Are you saved today? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? One who rests in his own salvation and has a great concern for others to be saved. You know you're saved. You want other people to get saved. And you'll do whatever it takes to show them love, to bring them to Jesus Christ. By the way, the difference always is Jesus. That's where the difference is. Always the difference is Jesus. Ladies, let me tell you something. You would be nothing but property of most religions and men if Jesus hadn't come along. He freed you up and says a lot of good things about you. There would be no hospitals in the world. You go back and trace history, and some have done that. There were no hospitals until after Jesus came into this life and lived his life and was buried and arose. Then later came hospitals. Most hospitals go back to Christianity and their roots. No leprosariums for lepers to go get help and to be comforted until after Jesus came and was buried and arose. No orphanages until after Jesus came, was buried and arose. And then later on, because of Christianity, they formed orphanages. And many children who otherwise would have been slaves and otherwise would have just been allowed to die on the streets were taken in because of Christ, because of His love. All of us are familiar with the Red Cross. There would be no Red Cross except it be for Jesus. There would be no such thing as a Red Cross. And after all, what is the Red Cross? What is the Red Cross? The Red Cross is a symbol of the shed blood of Jesus Christ as He died on the cross for my sins and your sins. And thank God Jesus died for all of us. You can be saved today if you want to be saved. He died on the cross, shed His blood, so that you could say, "Here I am, Lord, I want the gift of eternal life." It is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. I talked to a young lady yesterday, about 16, and I said, "Are you going to heaven?" She said, "Yes, I think so." I said, "Well, why do you think you're going to heaven?" She said, "Because I try to do good things." That's commendable, and you ought to do that. But let me tell you, you don't get to heaven that way. You get to heaven because Jesus died for you on the cross. He paid your debt. It is a gift. How do you get the gift? The gift is in Jesus. The gift's in Him. Take Him, you get the gift. What's the gift? Eternal life. And I encourage you to receive Christ as your Savior. May we all be challenged today as believers to be busy, loving, joyful Christians who are not focusing on ourselves, but on the need to get out there and help others out. That'll bring you out on Saturday visitation. That'll make you win souls down at the office. That'll make you speak up for Jesus where you teach as a teacher. That'll make us all speak out for the Lord and to do good things to help people. Are you looking for people that are hurting? Are you looking for opportunities to do something for the Lord and to help people out so that you might have the chance to tell them about Jesus Christ? You know, you can be hateful with them and condemn them and really be critical of them, but I tell you what's going to win every time. The same thing that won us over, and that's the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I ask you this question: what kind of legacy are you leaving? Would it be the one that Tabitha left? That she was full of good works and charity and alms deeds. That is written to a Christian. The Bible is saturated with our responsibility to do that so that God might be glorified. That's why Tabitha did it, so God could be glorified. If you're here without Christ, trust Him as your Savior. Step out in a moment. Make your way down front. Somebody will lead you to the Lord, show you how to be saved. Don't wait, just come as God speaks. And now, Father, we thank You for including this beautiful story of a godly woman by the name of Tabitha, Dorcas. And Father, we thank You that she was as lovely as a gazelle. She loved You and served others. By serving others, she served You. Help us to be of that mindset. May we search our hearts today and see if we're doing that. And I pray, God, for those that are unsaved, they might be saved today. It's Your invitation. We leave it in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.